Well, good morning.
Morning.
Isn't this a great way to start the morning? To celebrate the gift of life and the gift of what God gives to us in such a simple thing through water, just this little bit of water, and through the word that brings us and unites us together with God. And with God, we are given that gift of grace, of love, and the promise of eternal life. What an amazing gift that we have. And each of us, every time we gather here, whenever you see someone or when we speak of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there are those of you who like to remember their baptism by making the sign of the cross. It's not something that's required, but it's just a way of remembering that God has blessed me, that God has welcomed me into his home, and we are just so thankful and so grateful. Now, I want to ask you a couple of things here, and this is a participatory, this is not a rhetorical question. I want you to respond. I want you to think for a moment of when small ideas have become big things. So, let me give you a couple of hints. I've looked a few things up. Some of these things are really obvious. You should know. This gentleman started an online bookstore from his garage. Jeff Bezos. Thank you. These two individuals, brothers and their uncle, started a film process for Alice in Wonderland in their garage also. All these took place in garages. Who are they?
Disney.
Disney, yes, exactly right. All right, now you got to listen to this one, okay? Matt Matson and Elliot Handler, out of a garage in Southern California, typical place, started a picture frame company in 1945. To get the most out of their materials, they started using picture frames, scraps, to create dollhouses. Soon, their dollhouses were selling better than their picture frames, so they turned their emphasis to toys. Mattel, Matt, and Elliot. Mattel, okay. Michael Kittredge, made out of melted candles and scents, a gift of a candle to his mother. When the neighbors took notice and expressed interest in buying his candles, he started mass producing them. And again, out of his garage, he bought a place in an old mill in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Who am I talking about? Yankee Candles, yeah, right. One more. Okay, Tony Maglica moved from his war-torn home of Croatia back to America, knowing very little English, settled in Los Angeles and took jobs where he could find them. In 1955, after saving $125, he put a down payment on his first lathe. Then he started working out of a Los Angeles area garage to manufacture precision parts. He incorporated part of his name in 1974 and then released something that would brighten your life. Let me tell you his name, Tony Maglica. Maglites, yes, you got it, David, there you go. Small ideas that become big things. You can also talk about how, you know, little things, just in common, how a little bit of yeast can go a long way, or a little bit of salt will season quite a bit. All these things are images that we have from today's passage that Jesus speaks to his disciples. The disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows what is about to happen. And on the way, he has been explaining to them what it is to be a disciple, what they must do. Is it any wonder, after he shares with them all these things that need to go on, that they would say to him, "Increase our faith, Lord," as if it's something that can be tangible, that he can just kind of do something that will allow them to have this amazing amount of faith that will do amazing things. And Jesus says, you know, it's not the amount. He says, even if you have the tiniest bit of faith, and he compares it to a mustard seed, a large bush, it's a weed that grows in Palestine. He says that you can take this mulberry tree, and he points to a tree, and he says, be uprooted and planted in the sea. Now, that's a weird description Who plants a tree in a sea? We'll talk about that in a moment. But what Jesus is speaking of here is what is it that takes the ability to have this faith? Is it some kind of magical thing that happens? We say, as Lutherans, that it is the Holy Spirit that gives us this faith, that it begins at our baptism, so that Brooks and Elena, who are baptized this day, receive this Spirit that provides for the very faith that will help them come to a place in their life where they can actually say on their own, without expectation from parents or from pastors or anyone else, I believe. I believe. As Lutherans, we don't have this idea that it takes my understanding, but it is because of what God gives to us that allows us to have this faith that boils up within us and helps us so that we may grow and that we understand it is the Holy Spirit that brings us to God. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us to Jesus and to discipleship. It's a rather odd combination in which he speaks of today between this idea of the faith as a mustard seed and then turning over to talking about what it is to be a slave and how thankless a job it is. But he's forewarning the disciples the fact that when we do what we are called to do as disciples, and the things that we are called to do aren't always easy, that we must confront evil wherever we see it, but that we also celebrate the joy of new things, of new beginnings, of new ways in which God intercedes in our life that brings an amazing amount of rejoicing and celebration, such as moments as these. You know, we get this idea that somehow, miraculously, overnight, that we're going to have this an abundant amount of faith that it's just gonna take us to our final days when we are called home to God. And the reality is that it comes through discipline, it comes through our obedience, it comes through the understanding that being a disciple is not easy. It's not about getting rewarded. It is just simply doing what it is that God asks us to do. We come to worship. We celebrate God. God, you know, we don't say to each other, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. You came to worship, good person. But we do it because of our love and joy that God has given us. And we celebrate that. We give because God has given us. We talk about how little things can become great things over time. In stewardship, we do the same thing. As our faith is transformed, we understand what it is that we give, not to a budget or to some kind of thing to make something happen, but we give out of our love for God, just as we would for the persons and the people that we love. We give not that we expect to be loved in return, although that's nice. That's wonderful. But in our obedience, we understand that God will take us into places we never imagined, where small beginnings create great things. Those disciples had no idea what they were headed for. And yet, after Jesus is crucified and after he is risen, they take off into various parts of the known world, and things begin to happen. People begin to hear their words, and people begin to believe and to follow, and the Christian church is given birth. And it continues to thrive because of the fact that there are those who continue to have faith and live their life. Let's go back a moment and talk about this weird thing that Jesus says, if you have faith. In Matthew, it says, if you have faith, what can you do? You can move mountains, right? In Luke, it says you can move a mulberry tree, which doesn't seem quite as extensive as a mountain. But when you have a sense of a mulberry tree, it has a very deep-rooted system. They're almost impossible to dig up because their roots reach down deep, and they are intertwined with others. And so it takes quite a bit of strength to remove it. Oftentimes in Scripture, we hear trees being compared to people, or people identified as trees. And what we see here, I believe, Jesus is saying about this mulberry tree, if you have faith, you can move it. and tell it to be planted into the sea, which is a weird place to go, not just planted, but to lay its roots in the sea, I believe is a new way of understanding how God also transplants us, who tells us, be uprooted and move. And that as you are brought into the waters of baptism, you are given new life and new beginnings, that you are going to see things that you never imagined that you would see, or experience places and people that you never thought you'd ever encounter. Those of you from St. Luke's know the story of me coming here and how strange a story that is. And yet, it was God who said, no, be uprooted from Warren, Pennsylvania, and you're not going to be planted in California, but you're going to be planted in Michigan. God has done that over and over and over again through the prophets, through the disciples, and now to this day, through you and I. Martin Luther never knew what it was that he was about to begin. All he knew is that he saw corruption in the church and he wanted to see it change. He had no intention of beginning a new church. And I'm sure that it grieved him that the church itself rejected him. And yet, he prevailed. And the words in which he brings to us this day and this understanding that it is not by what we do, but because of God's grace that we are saved, is an amazing understanding. Because it lifts from our burdens, lifts from our shoulders, that whole understanding that you better be good or God is not going to take care of you. God is not going to receive you. Because all of us are inherently sinful. And there is nothing ever that we can do to undo that. But we lie at the hands of a God who is gracious and forgiving. From small things come great things. From the moment that we hear of the birth of Christ, and we are amazed at the story of how the wise men and the shepherd are drawn to him and they pay homage to him, how the faithfulness of Joseph and Mary as they bring this child and they listen to God as he speaks to them and not to be afraid, but to deliver the child and then to take them into Egypt and then to bring him back. And for Mary, the understanding that this child is going to cause her great pain, and yet she is faithful in carrying out and saying, listen to him. And the people do. And the day that he dies on the cross and how the broken hearts of those that were close to him, and yet the joy they must have and the astonishment at the day of his resurrection. Today, you and I have new birth and new life. We too have been uprooted and we have been transplanted, maybe not into a sea, but we have been transplanted into the life of Christ. And so I encourage you to hear God saying to you each as we celebrate this baptism today of how you too have been received into his arms, how you too have been given his grace, how you too have been given the promise of eternal life, and how you too now are called to obedience, to be his servants, to celebrate and to give this very word you hear today to those out there in the world, and to share in this goodness that others too may also be uprooted and planted elsewhere, perhaps in the sea, perhaps in the hills, perhaps maybe right here in Grand Rapids, wherever it is. God is with you. Amen.